Espejos de Aztlán.
A talk show about our communities.
Cultura, educación, política.
Salud, inmigración, historia.
When?
Mondays at 7 p.m.
Right after All Things Considered.
Espejos on KUNM 89.9.
Un programa
comprometido con nuestra comunidad.
Tattoo heart with an arrow through the middle of a name that looks like Joe. And a young girl looking at her makeup in the mirror with a little gold ring on her toe. I gotta say one, two, three more things before I go on. There's a sharp-dressed man playing some.
Y bienvenidos al programa Espejos de Aztlán, un programa que le ofrece el colectivo Raíces todos los lunes de 7 a 7:30 de la tarde. Welcome to Espejos de Aztlán, and this afternoon, my name is Cristina Bachín, and this afternoon we are our guest, Andrew Connors. Thank you so much, Andrew, for coming here, for being with us in Espejos de Aztlán for first time.
It's a great pleasure to be here. I love this show. It's one of my favorites.
Thank you. And this afternoon we are preparing for our listeners a short strolling around un paseo cortito through the exhibition Estampas de la Raza. Just the name is so powerful. I love the name, and also I loved the icons you are using for the exhibition. This exhibition is taking place here in Albuquerque, in the Albuquerque Museum of Art and History, and it's taking place, it's going through September the 29th, and it's a pleasure for us to offer this portrait, it's a landscape of this exhibition with curator of art, Andrew Connors, of the Albuquerque Museum of Art and History. And I can say that there are plain bright colors here in the control room, so you have to be ready with your eyes and your ears opened to go through these bright colors. There are powerful political messages about living as Mexican or Chicano in the USA, different Mexican-American artists from the 60s. They are hanging, and actually is Andrew Connors hanging them and with lots of help in the museum. Their works in the walls, and it's a great experience just to stroll around the screen prints that are here in Albuquerque. And you as a curator, and I saw that there are different topics with which you and the curator of San Antonio organized this exhibition. The main topics are identity, struggle, tradition, culture, icons, and the main the print that you use to announce this exhibition is a great icon, Frida Kahlo. So let us know which are these icons that are in this exhibition, and why also Frida Kahlo? Who are these artists?
Well, the exhibition was organized in San Antonio at the McNay Art Museum, and the curator selected, Lyle Williams, those topics. But what we wanted to do here in Albuquerque was really start off with the most strong, brilliant images. And so we reversed the order of the exhibition, starting off with icons. And so when you walk into the exhibition, you're confronted with this wall of incredibly powerful images that just say, these are strong works of art that express strong points of view and strong opinions. They're such a powerful expression of history, of culture, of awareness of who people are, where people have come from, and where we're going in the future. So there are some images. One, Artemio Rodriguez's image, Mickey Muerto, is Mickey Mouse dressed as a muerto, a calavera. He's got cowboy boots on and spurs, sort of showing his U.S. identity, but also making a connection and a sort of parody of the power of the corporate culture. Then there's wonderful images of Frida Kahlo, and Richard Duardo created a a number of different images of Frida Kahlo based on the Selma Hayek portrayal of Frida Kahlo from the film. Those are powerful. They're set up like a loteria tabla. So they're almost like a game. Which Frida are we playing with? But they're huge prints. These prints are almost 5 feet tall. So they're works of art that really work powerfully as objects, visual objects, but they also tell us so much about identity and personality. Then there's that wonderful image that was used on the poster and used on the cover of the catalog by Raul Caracosa, and it's simply called Young Frida Pink. And this takes an image based on a photograph of Frida when she was a younger woman. She's looking down. It's a portrait taken by her father. So it's very intimate. It's the Frida Kahlo that we tend not to know, the Frida Kahlo before she became a public icon. So it's intimate. It's touching. It's really sort of heart-rending when you look at an image like that and realize this woman is going to suffer so much in her life. But then it's set against a brilliant pink background to show the color and the celebration of life that Frida so represents for so many people.
So now that you are mentioning Frida Kahlo, I can say she's one of my icons and favorite icons as well of Mexican art. So let's listen a little song about Frida Kahlo, and in this case is Lila Downs saying Benediction and Dream is the soundtrack of her movie, of the movie about her. And this is Espejos de Aztlán. We are talking with Andrew Connors, the curator of art of the Albuquerque Museum of Art and History. And the reason we have Lila Downs here talking, singing about Frida Kahlo is because Frida Kahlo is one of the most important parts of this art exhibition in the museum. And Andrew, this exhibition is made with screen print, with prints. That's why the name is Estampas, Estampas de la Raza, so powerful title. Why Chicano artists choose this kind of technique to do this so strong and powerful art?
Well, I think early on, in the beginning of the Chicano Civil Rights Movement, there were many artists that wanted to get the message out that there was a strike going on, that there was injustice going on in the United States. And so a lot of the first artists really worked in screen printing or in other kinds of printmaking, basically to make posters. They weren't making elite works of art that would be collected. They were making images that would get the word out and spread the word throughout the community. And so that idea of silk screens or screen printing or mass production of posters became really inculcated into the culture as a way of making visual expression in parallel to the politics of the time. So some of the older artists or more senior artists in the exhibition, including Esther Hernandez and Malaquias Montoya and others that are not included in the show, such as Rupert Garcia, used to make posters simply to paste them up on walls or pin them to power poles. And they really were not making precious works of art. They were making communication, and they were making things that they hoped would rally the troops and get people aware of issues. So in the younger artists' hands, that idea of printmaking remains viable, first and foremost because it means that your artwork can be affordable. You can make a work of art that's not a single unique painting. You can make 50 prints, and that means that 50 different people can own the prints, and they're less expensive. So there's very much a sense of sharing of this visual culture, and the artists really want to get their images out into people's hands because it doesn't do any good if they're in wealthy collectors' private homes. They want people to see them, and they want to share that message.
And there was also some reason related with the places where they were printing or preparing these prints. I guess that you are not, in these cases, they were not artists working alone in the attic of a place, isolated of the world, with beautiful light, but not related with the social debt. Were these places where they used to prepare their prints?
There were a number of artist collectives, particularly in California and Texas, and one of the probably the best known of the printmaking talleres or ateliers is called Self-Help Graphics, which is in East Los Angeles. And Self-Help Graphics was started by Sister Karen Bocalero, and Sister Karen really started this program as a way of giving young people something productive to do in their spare time. And so she brought in some of these great masters, Malaquias Montoya and Rupert Garcia and John Valdez and Patsy Valdez, and they taught their printmaking techniques to these younger kids, many of whom now are some of the major artists in California. So while much of it started as a collective and a more sort of youth program or a place where adult artists could go and wouldn't have to own all of the equipment to make the prints.
And how about youngs in our present? I saw that you have very contemporary prints. Are these young artists, how are they linking their art with these 60s prints, or how are they relating with that?
Well, some of the artists are...
The topics, so I guess there is something different, isn't it?
Exactly. Some of the artists are, the younger artists are very much involved in the politics and the issues of politics, and others of them have simply chosen to create works of art that they respond to in their personal life. So Sonia Romero, for instance, created a fascinating image of a pile of bees in a beehive form, and there really is no social comment there. It's a spectacular print, and so that's what she makes. Other artists, such as Vincent Valdez from San Antonio, Texas, is very much involved in the idea of social justice, and now one of his major issues is racial profiling in Texas. And one of the most gut-wrenching images in the exhibition is a simple portrait against a blue background of one of his best friends named John, John. And John went to the Gulf War and came back and suffered post-traumatic stress disorder and eventually committed suicide. And Vincent created this powerful, powerful portrait of this man's face with bloodshot eyes. Really, the only color in the print is the bloodshot, the blood veins in his eyes. And you just see the humanity in that individual, and you see that Vincent is trying to say, look at these individuals that are suffering so badly within our society. How can we do better as a culture? So even in the younger artists, there is this sense of justice and who are we looking after and who do we look after as human beings, one person to another.
It's really very powerful. I saw that print and the eyes, the glance. It's amazing. And talking about art and this importance of art as social art, in this case mostly, we're going to listen from Quetzal this song that is the social relevance of public art. Estampas de la Raza, this is the topic we are talking today with curator of art, Andrew Connors, from the Albuquerque Museum of Art and History. This is Espejos Aztlan. Our telephone number is 277-5615. My name is Cristina Bachin. And we were talking about all these topics around the Estampas de la Raza and how this exhibition came to Albuquerque. Who were these amazing collectors that did all this job for us and also the trip to here? Let us know a little bit about the history of this exhibition.
Well, the collectors, Dr. Harriet Romo and Dr. Ricardo Romo, are both based in San Antonio. They're from San Antonio. They both have PhDs. They're both university professors. And Dr. Ricardo Romo actually is the president of University of Texas San Antonio. And from the very earliest time in the early 1970s, they began to see images around them and they started collecting them. And so Drs. Romo are both so generous. They want to support the artist's work. They want to live with these images, but more importantly, they want to share them with the public. So they've been giving hundreds of prints over the past about 10 years to the University of Texas San Antonio, to the Blanton Art Museum, University of Texas Austin, and this group of images and more. They've given more than 200 images, prints, to the McNay Art Museum in San Antonio. And the curator of prints at the McNay Art Museum decided, we've got to get these out. We've got to celebrate these. And so Lyle Williams made a selection of 61 images and put together this spectacular catalog that really puts these images in a context of the great socially active artists from the 19th century, such as Francisco Goya from Spain and Henri Daumier from France, and really says that these artists are working in a long-standing tradition. And the book was such a knockout that when it was sent to my boss, the director of the Albuquerque Museum, Kathy Wright, she immediately put a sticky on it and said, "Andrew, this looks great." And so we called them up and said, could we book this exhibition? And so we were lucky enough to be the first on the tour, the traveling tour of the exhibition. And it will also go to North Carolina and Los Angeles and probably many other places. But it's just a great, great selection of 61 prints that really show the full range of aesthetic interest by contemporary artists in the United States.
I'm very grateful for that, and I really appreciated the whole tour I did in the exhibition. And you have more events coming on related with this exhibition, isn't it? In this week, if people want to know more rather than only going and strolling around it, even though the explanations of each one of the topics we are very highlighting about how did you arrange this exhibition. But which are next events for this exhibition?
Well, this Wednesday at 11 o'clock, we have a tour of the exhibition by Dr. Holly Barnett Sanchez, who is a professor of art history here at UNM. And Dr. Barnett Sanchez will be giving a tour of about an hour talking about the works of art. She's been a long-standing student and scholar of Chicano art and history. So that'll be an incredibly enlightening tour. And then this Sunday, the curator from San Antonio, from the McNay Art Museum, Lyle Williams, will be giving a lecture at the museum at 1 p.m. And he'll be talking about these particular images and putting them in that long historical context, basically saying that these artists are really doing the same thing that the great artists of all time have been doing. And then in September, I'll be giving a gallery talk on September 4th, Wednesday, September 4th at 11. And then the final program of this exhibition is just going to be incredibly wonderful. Part of our Third Thursday programs that the museum started about a year and a half ago. And on Thursday evening, September 19th, from 5 to 8:30, we'll have the musical group, the local group called The Big Spank, will be performing music. And we will also have a keynote lecture given by Gustavo Arellano, who is probably best known to us here in Albuquerque as the columnist for Ask a Mexican.
Yeah, we had him in Espejos de Aztlán. He's amazing.
So he's going to be giving a talk at the museum that's open to everyone, and we would love to encourage students to come. It's a terrific opportunity to hear this funny, but brilliant thinker. And he'll be commenting on contemporary issues in a way that's very similar to the way that the visual artists in this exhibition comment on current situation.
Yeah, because many of these estampas, they are very ironic. There is a good sense of humor. I'm just remembering this stamp of El Che Guevara with in his beret, instead of the star, of the red star, he had the icon of the logotype of a brand, of Nike. Yeah. And you don't need to say anything else rather than just watch that image and just think and give these images. I like that they are leaving the person who is just watching an amazing freedom to rebuild the message as well. So I'm very happy with this exhibition. Thank you, Andrew Connors, for coming here this afternoon. And we want to remind our listeners that this is an exhibition, Estampas de la Raza, which is in the Albuquerque Museum of Art and History. It's located in 2000 Mountain Road, Northwest Old Town in Albuquerque. It's Tuesdays through Sundays from 9 to 5 p.m. So there's a lot of time for you. Go and stroll around it and enjoy it. And thank you so much. And just to grab this afternoon, I choose something from Los Enzontles, which is Soy Mexico Americano. I think it matched with this topic, isn't it?
I love your musical choices to go along with this exhibition. They're just terrific.
Thank you. Thank you, Andrew, for coming. And I hope you'll come back with another big exhibition promptly.
I can't wait. Thanks so much, Christina.
Thank you.